Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to our worship service this morning at Wigan Baptist Church. Just a few announcements and then we'll open up with a word of prayer. Wednesday night at 6:30 is our fellowship meal and church conference. There is a sign-up sheet in the back of a few items that we need, I think salad and desserts. If you'd like to make one of those, just put your name on that sheet as you leave today. But please come and fellowship with us. Church conference is where you learn the business of the church. Don't learn it on social media. Don't learn it on chit-chatting and all. It helps to share and all. But church conference is where you learn the business of the church. And we encourage everyone to be a part of that. So come and eat supper with us and stay for conference. In the refrigerator, there's several gallons of tea. If you would like a gallon, or just go back there and get it after the service today.
Sweet and unsweet.
Sweet and unsweet. And please help us there, because we'd hate to see it go to waste. So if you drink tea and you need a gallon, just go back there. If you can, or you're not able, let us know. One of Harold or I will get it for you, or whatever there. Sunday, that's next Sunday, May the 11th, is Mother's Day. No PM service. Thursday, May the 15th, at 7 PM, is Standing in the Gap men's meeting. We will have a meal and then a devotion after that. And I want to encourage the men, come and fellowship with it. I know when you say you get a bunch of men together, all we talk about is sports and fishing and hunting and things like that. But it seems like every time after we get through with the devotion that we get into some spiritual, we got into some deep theological stuff at the last meeting God and salvation and all. So yes, we do share, we do talk about God. So I want to encourage the men to come and support that. Children's home truckloading items need to be at the church by Sunday, May the 11th. There's a box in the back. You see in your bulletin the items that we need. Have them here by next Sunday if you can. That way we can get them to the associational office Monday or Tuesday. And please save any empty gum boxes you may have. They are needed for VBS. Any questions, contact Susan Maxwell. Any other announcements? Any birthdays? Well, before we open a prayer, Brother David is here. He's made his rounds. Thank you for coming and enjoying breakfast with us. He's made his rounds already here. Everybody, no need to introduce him. But we would like, when you do come up, give us you've been checking on all of us and getting updates. I would just like if you would just update you and Darlene and all and let us know what's going on. But I know we Sunday school was about humility, but Brother David was here during a very difficult time. Y'all know that. And we talked about leaders today as elders, and he led this church spiritually, and not only spiritually, but emotionally, y'all. And we will never forget that, David. And we love you, and we appreciate that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship breakfast we had this morning, Lord. We thank you for the Sunday school hour, Lord, and Lord, but we come now to worship you, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we just want to lift up the remaining part of the service to you, Lord, as we even talked about in Sunday school, Lord, this morning. You are the creator, you are the sustainer, Lord. You are the one. All of us have gifts. All of us are you use us in special ways. We know that, Lord. But you are the one that's sustaining Wigan Baptist Church, Lord. And we just want to give you the glory and you the honor, Lord, and not that any person or group of people are worthy of any glory or anything like that, Lord. Lord, we do just thank you for Brother David today, Lord. I do just want to pray for him as he stands before us and proclaims your word today, Lord. I just pray, Lord, that we have come ready to hear, Lord, and be attentive, Lord. I know that, Lord, but not only be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Well, if you can this morning, please stand as we worship, singing Majesty.
All fear is gone.
38.
Sissy, we must turn this on. There you go. It worked when you did that. I had that in my mind, but I got distracted with that beautiful music, and I appreciate that. It is good to be here. It's good to see all of you. I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to come. All is well in the Cook household, except for some goings on. Darlene had decided she needed to walk some more. And she read an article where it said if you walk at least 10 minutes a day, it will help you have less dementia, able to do more things and live longer. Well, that worked until she entered the 5K walk last week, or the road show, and her knee quit about 2.5 miles. And so she did make it in about 55, 56 minutes. And yet when I got around the corner to pick her up, she couldn't walk, and she had been in the bed or in a chair all week long and in a great deal of pain. But we did have an x-ray, and she They say there's nothing broken, nothing damaged, but we do have an appointment with our orthopedic surgeon tomorrow that actually replaced my knee. So hopefully he can tell her what to do and how to overcome that and move on. We are still happy grandparents, but I had to go through a little depression because my daughter and her husband and our five-year-old Walter moved to Atlanta in December. And of course, that, you know, that did make me happy. I tried to make some deals with her. I told her that Kelsey could come home anytime she wanted to see him. And it did not matter if he stayed till he was in the fifth grade or was a senior in high school. I would love to have seen him grow up here in Thomas County. But she didn't take me up on the deal, but they have been down a couple of times and they were here this week. She has a wonderful job and some great people that she works with. And she does have to be in an office in downtown Atlanta 2 days a week. I think it takes her longer to take Walter to school, 45 minutes or an hour, than it does sometimes for her to get to work. And so anyway, that's their life. But she came down and they thrilled us this week, other than the fact that Darlene couldn't walk. So I had the opportunity to be a single parent, and I took care of Walter, and I washed dishes, and I cooked, and did some things that I need to do anyway. It's all good because it's all where we live. We do still attend First Baptist on Sunday mornings at 8:30 today. I skipped it because I wanted to come eat. And so that was a good idea. We go out to Enon Baptist in Coolidge, and Darlene plays the piano, and of course she had to miss last week and this week, and hopefully she'll be back on her feet enough to go next week. And that has been a wonderful and good experience for us. It's a small church. Sometimes we have 8 or 9, maybe 10. Easter Sunday we had 15, but we have had 2, 3, 4, 5 in these past 2 years, 5 baptisms, and God is using that to help bring some other people back in that community. So Darlene and I have also managed to, we've managed to go out and continue some friendships that came from a long time ago. And I want to say that to you because I think it was Brother Tim and I were discussing that earlier. It's wonderful how God's family is everywhere God is. And guess what? God is working all the time. And he's working everywhere. And he just wants to know, when are we going to come join him? What can we do? So too often it's, I think we do try and say to him, what is it that you want me to do, God? He wants you to go work. Amen. You want to serve him wherever you are. And when you take that opportunity, it turns out to be what God desires of you. So I know we've all had tragedies. You know, we've had a couple of deaths that have broken my heart, and very sorry about those, and I know that that is not easy for any of us. But I do know that God is continuing to work, and I'm thankful for Brother Tim and Amy and their ministry here. I see that on Facebook, and I see it from some of your posts, and I appreciate that. His daughter Ariel, I believe is her name, who got married this weekend. I remember her very well, sitting right over here the first time I saw them, and how sweet and kind she was. And I knew that there had to be some young man who would come snatch her away fairly quickly. And he did, and she accepted. So So I'm thankful they can, and glad that Tim and Amy could rest today and enjoy that new part of their life. But what I want to talk to you about today is something that I hope will help you where you are. Because what I want you to see today, I did put a name to this sermon and or title, and the title is "There's a Stone for Every Goliath." There's a stone for every Goliath. Because you see, life is what it is, and what we do, and how we face challenges every day of our life is important. It's important to God, and it's important to us as we live our life. Today is going to be a scripture text. I'm going to read some of it because I want you to listen and engage in what we're doing. Shana is going to project it on the screen, so if you didn't have a Bible close by, you can watch that. But I want you to hear what it says. We don't all see life in the same way. Our daily lives and our work, for some of us, it is really just no big deal. I understand and I agree completely with what many people say when they retire, now that I have been out of the workforce, so to speak, for about the last 5 years. I don't know when I had time to have a job. I am either going somewhere doing something for somebody, a honey-do list for my wife, or I'm at the doctor's office. My wife and I do only have 3 doctor's appointments tomorrow, and we'll manage to make all of them. But at the same time, life can be just as simple as we want it to be, while others, getting out of bed and facing the day can be the hardest thing that we do. And I do. I understand that, and I hope you do as well. Believe me, it has a lot to do with perspective. And it has a lot to do with what we are trying to accomplish with our lives, with our families, and who we are. I personally have dealt with this concept, I think, for most of my entire life, because I remember when I was 5 years of age, we had a new pastor come to our church, Harrisburg Baptist Church in Tupelo, and that pastor, his name was Dr. Robert L. Hamblin, and we loved Dr. Hamblin. He was not a real tall man, about 5'7" or 5'8", and I think the first thing I remember about him was that he came over for lunch one Sunday and at our house, and it was myself and my 2 older brothers. If I was 5, then Dan was about 7, and Jim would have been about 10. And Dr. Hammond was obviously a much younger man, and he got out in the front yard and played football with us. But I was on his team, and even though he was short, we were playing touch football, and he put me on his shoulders and gave me the football, and we won, because they couldn't touch us. I like that because Dr. Hammond taught me how to do some things in my life and how to live my life so that it would be different. And one of the things that he taught me, even at that young age and as he grew through, because we had Dr. Hammond in our church for 22 years. And so I grew up under him and went away to college and came back on even his last Sunday. But Dr. Hammond looked at me and he said, "Don't look at the world or your work as a problem, but look at it as a challenge. Everything you do, everything that comes your way." And as I said a moment ago, it's about perspective. I changed my attitude at that point. I'm not sure, maybe not at 5, but after that I began to look. And I decided life can be a challenge. Life can be something that we can look at. So how do we do? Let's look at perspectives. First of all, when I think of it, I think first of all of being a patient, which some of us are sick, some of us have problems. When I worked for a hospice, that's what we did. Are we the caregiver? Have we faced this problem or this challenge before? Is this our spouse, child, or parent? Or are we equipped to handle what lies ahead? All of those are questions we can and should ask ourselves. But the answer, it's unusual, but I'm going to give you the answer to all of this up front. The answer to all of these statements is simply this: God is sufficient. Three words: God is sufficient. God is in control, and we don't have to worry about the outcome. And so now we're going to turn to 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And Shauna helped me catch the fact that in my notes I had put 16. Well, that's not it. The 17th is where we're going. Story that you have heard before, but we're going to read through some of this, and then we're going to skip a major section of it. But I want us to get the concept of what was happening in David's life. The first verse in chapter 17, the Philistines gathered their forces for war at Socoh in Judah and camped between Socoh and Azekah and Ephesdamim. Saul and the men of Israel gathered and camped in the valley of Elah. Then they lined up for battle, or lined up in battle formation to face the Philistines. The Philistines were standing on one hill, and the Israelites were standing on another hill, with a ravine between them. Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall. Now, I try to imagine that. I'm 5'11", maybe 5'10", but even at 6 feet, that would be almost as high as these side walls. I mean, that's a lot of human being. That's a huge man. And this is what he was facing. And he wore, verse 5, a bronze helmet and a bronze steel armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins, and bronze javelin was slung across his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam, and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. That means some other crazy person with a shield in front of this 9 foot person. He stood and shouted to the Israelite battle formations, "Why do you come out to line up in battle formation?" he asked them. "Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me," remember that, "we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we can fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and they were terrified. Well, Saul's army was scared. They were nervous. They had never faced a challenge like this. But what we find in the next verses shows who David trusted. And the section there, right after this, continues to talk about how he taunted them and how he looked at them and came out every day and challenged the army. So we're going to skip down to verse 33. So let me give Shauna a second to get to 33. Canal. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 33, but Saul replied, okay? But Saul replied, "You can't go fight this Philistine." Well, Saul is talking to David because David has appeared on the scene in these other verses. And David was a shepherd boy. And he has come and he's talked and he's heard all of this going on. He said, and Saul tells him, "You're just a youth and he's been a warrior since he was young." David answered Saul, "Your servant had been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by the fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Then David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go and may the Lord be with you." Saul changed his mind quickly. Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. He put a bronze helmet on David's head and had him put on armor. And David strapped his sword on after the military clothes and tried to walk. He was not used to them. "I can't walk in these," David said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. When I read those verses, I tried to understand and see how he could accomplish the task that way. How he could accomplish what someone else would do, or do we learn on our own to grow and to change and put on the armor and trust God to lead us the way that he wants us to do the task? Because you see, this is what I'm talking about today. You're not me. And I'm not you, and you're not the person you work for. You are yourself. And you've got to carry yourself through life in that way. Let's look down at verse 40. Yeah, that's there. Verse 40 says, "Instead, he took his staff in his hand," David now, "chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch." At first, I thought that said, he chose five smooth stones from the water, and the Bible was incorrect. But that word wadi is supposed to be there. It means like a trench or a valley that maybe is there and doesn't have much water in it or is dried out. So they were standing on this hill with this between them. But David went through that and picked up the stones. In his shepherd's bag, he put those in his shepherd's bag, and then with his sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine. Verse 41. The Philistine came closer and closer to David with the shield bearer in front of him, of course. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth. Healthy, yes, and handsome. And he said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" Then he cursed David by his gods, little g. "Come here," the Philistine called David, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beast." Now get this. David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel's. You have defiled him. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today, I'll strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpse of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us. All right, two more verses and let's see what he does. When the Philistines started forward to attack him, David ran quickly to the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in the bag, took out a stone and slung it and hit the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down into the ground. I think he probably even fell into that wadi, which was probably a little muddy. David defeated the Philistine with a sling and a stone. David overpowered the Philistine and killed him without having a sword. David ran and stood over him. He grabbed the Philistine's sword, pulled it from the sheath, and used it to kill him. And there were some younger children in the audience one time when I preached a part of this sermon. And I didn't tell him, well, he cut his head off is what he did. That's in the next verse. But you see, David did what he accomplished, what the challenge was. Let's look at some things that David did that day. Why did David pick up five stones? Any ideas? What I think is this. Some people think it was for preparation and contingency. David was known for a skill with a sling and stones, and he may have simply wanted to be prepared for any potential follow-up attacks from the Philistines defeating Goliath. I look at that and I think, okay, he's already told them that. He told Saul. This is what he did for a living. He protected his flock. Others have said it was trust in God. That's why he did it. David's faith in God was strong. And he believed that God would guide him and ensure his victory. He may have picked up five stones as a way of expressing his trust in God's power and provision rather than doubting his ability to succeed with just one stone. Why does a hunter carry more than one bullet in his gun when he goes hunting? He might miss. David wasn't afraid of missing. David wanted to be prepared for anything. Thirdly, there was even some speculation that David chose five stones because Goliath was said to have had four brothers. Well, and David was readying himself to dispatch all the giants. Now that's confidence. That's maybe a little humility in that, but I believe that David knew what he could do and he trusted in God to do it. Actually, I believe maybe all of these. I believe that David trusted in God. He told Goliath that he was an experienced shepherd, and he knew to be prepared, and he knew what his strength, what his abilities were, and what he had to do to be prepared. God would take care of the rest if he trusted in him. Folks, how often is it that we come to a crisis in our life and something happens and we say, well, I guess we need to pray about this. Well, maybe we should have started praying before then, even before the crisis started. But if we take the attitude that we can pray about this, Rick Warren wrote in a short devotion that I saw one time, and he said, when we pray and say it's our last resort, let's pray, are we thinking, how big is God? Is there something that God can't do? Has anybody ever come to you and said, well, you know, should I pray about everything, about little things? Yes, God really cares. God cares about the small things in our life. God cares about the everyday things in our life. God cares about whether I lost my key or whether I misplaced it. It doesn't matter. God is big enough to care about all of that and loves us enough to care about where we maybe left those keys. And so when I think about that, I look at it. So what else do we learn from this? What are the battles that we face in our daily life? I'm only going to name a few, but you think, is it a physical or a mental problem or emotional thing that we're dealing with, our health? Is it your work, how you make a living, how you provide for your family, where your paycheck comes from? Is it your marriage or your family or the circumstances you live in? You see, I can look out here at this congregation and the ones that I preached before. We are fortunate people and we are very rich. God has blessed us in so many ways. It doesn't have to do with how much money you've got in the bank. It doesn't have to do with where you live. But God has blessed us in so many ways. And we ought to be so grateful. What are you taking into battle? I think that's the next question we have to ask ourselves. Because if we're not prepared to go into battle for the challenges of the day, then we don't need to be going out the door. How about these? Are you taking five smooth stones or spears, daggers, and swords? I don't know, but how about the Bible? Do you carry about, I carry a Bible in my hip now every day because I've got probably 200 translations or so in this small cell phone. Yes, I have it there so I can look at it. I can read it. When I go into a doctor's office and sit down, I usually don't pick up my phone. I want to watch everybody else and see what they're doing. See if maybe somebody will stop and talk to me. You never know. Do we have the knowledge of life and background that God has given you? We've all got different experiences. From the front row to the back row, we've all seen and heard and lived different things in our lives. Are we carrying the Holy Spirit with us? That's what David did. He knew that the Holy Spirit was with him, whatever the challenge was, whatever happened in his life. And that's important. Or do we carry memory verses? Now that's a tough one because I used to sing more. I used to act in plays in high school and in college. And I could remember things and I could memorize lines and yet I would have trouble. There are some scriptures that I have grown up with, some scriptures that I have memorized as I preach, and those scriptures helped me tremendously. But I've watched and taught my children in Bible drill. I worked with the state of Georgia in Bible drill either as a judge or later on as a caller in the Bible drill, and just saw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of children learn tons of verses. Some every year would learn more than 25 verses and chapters in God's Word. Those children, I see them now grown in many, many different paths, and they remember those verses. Maybe not every word, but they know what God said to them. Do you go into battle with a presence of peace and love? What's happening? In other words, I know all of us have different times in our life and different seasons, but whatever it is in yours, how do you get up? Okay? I get up slowly because you got to stretch your back and got to work out. Okay, but then what are you going to do? You can design that however you want to. But starting off by putting on God's armor, the armor that He's given you, the things that you need to take into battle, with you in your life, whatever that season may be. Stop and ask. This is my question for today. What one thing would you change or fix or do differently to affect the outcome of your next challenge in life? I think that's the question we all need to ask. We all need to ask it today. What is it? Because you've had some experiences, you've had some things you've gone, but is there something? And the answer to that is David won the battle with God's help and a sling and what? One stone. Would that challenge in your life change? Would it make it better? Would it help at all? Think about what it could do. Most important is this. Who are we trusting in the victory of the challenge in our life? Is it God or is it our own understanding? And I can't even say those words without thinking of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight. That's what God does. That's how He helps us every single day and every single challenge. Whether we think it's this big or whether we think it's going to change the world. Folks, that's what we have to do. Because you see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your challenge is. What matters is who you trust to go with you into it. Could we be trusting in others, knowledge, education, medicine, parents, equipment, wealth, or the Holy Spirit of God? What is it? My takeaway today is very simple, but it's this. In reality, it is not who we are or what we bring into the world, but it is if we know the Creator of the world and we are willing to follow Him. That's what life is. That's what it does. When we put aside our desire and we take on what God desires. Folks, let's pray. Father, we don't know what challenges we face even this afternoon, tonight, or tomorrow. But we know that today we can do something about it. We can turn our lives over to you, and we can make you, allow you to change our hearts, our lives, and our attitude. And you will make tomorrow different if we do that. So I pray today for this church, this congregation, for Brother Tim, their pastor, and Amy, how much they mean to them. And I ask you, Lord, to continue to work in them and in their lives, and Lord, to give them peace and strength and health. So I pray that today in Jesus' name. Amen.